We've had several times that gang fights have broken out on our church as rival gang members have come on our buses, different buses, and seen each other there and started to fight. We've had to call the police to break it up. Don't go to Saginaw. Nobody's ever built a Baptist church of any size there. You're not going to be the first one to do it. And I had a couple of other places seem to want me to come. Nicer places, nicer place to live, nicer house for me to live in, nicer church buildings. But God sent me to Saginaw. And I was glad to go because there's a lot of people there, and I thought the more people we had there, the better chance we had of seeing some people saved. And I'd been there a few years, and we'd grown and built a building and started a Christian school and hired some staff. The president of the college from which I graduated came by and we had a meal with him. And he wrote me a letter and he said this. He said, "The only explanation for what is happening at your church is that God is doing it." You see, he knew me when I was in school. Nobody thought I was going to amount to anything. I'm not joking about that. I went back when we started our school to hire teachers, and one of my old teachers saw me and she said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm looking for a Christian school teacher." She said, "Are you a Christian school teacher?" I said, "No, ma'am." "Are you the principal of a Christian school?" "No, ma'am." "Are you an assistant pastor at a church that has a Christian school?" "No, ma'am." She said, "What are you doing looking for Christian school teachers?" "Well, I'm recruiting them for the mafia. Want to turn them into drug dealers." She'd have believed that. I started to say, "I'm a pastor and our church is starting a Christian school." I couldn't say that much. I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." She said, "You're a pastor?" If I'd said, "I'm a bank robber," she'd have said, "I knew it. I knew it." But I was not insulted by the statement. The only explanation for what is happening at your church is that God is doing it. I was blessed by the statement. Nobody in Saginaw needs to see what I can do. Nobody in the Philippines needs to see what you can do. Nobody in your country needs to see what you're able to accomplish. Everybody needs to see what God can do. And then he had one more request, part of his burden. He had a desire for productivity. He had a desire for power. He had a desire for protection. "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." You can be greatly used of God, but that doesn't guarantee you won't be tempted. You can be used of God to accomplish great things, but that doesn't make you immune to the devil's attacks. And I won't take the time to develop it, but I hope that all of us, as we serve God, will say, "Oh God, protect me. Oh God, keep me from evil." It's interesting. The Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But when the Lord Jesus told us to pray, he told us to pray and lead us not into temptation. He asked us to pray that God wouldn't do something that God says that he never did. But, and I don't give you all the theological explanation of it, but I'll tell you what I think it means. I think it means you and I ought to run scared all the time. You and I ought to realize that in our flesh we are weak and we can fall, and there's nobody that's ever done anything that we couldn't do and nothing that anybody else has done that could not be a temptation to us. And we ought to say, "God, I want your blessing. I want your power. I want you to enlarge my coast. I want your hand to be with me. But, oh God, keep me from evil." The Lady Elgin was taking a group of people to hear a debate between the presidential candidates Lincoln and Douglas. She went down in the icy waters of Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan's always cold. I've been in it in the middle of summer and my feet turned numb. The news went out that there were people bobbing around in those icy waters needing to be helped, and people did what they could. There was a young man from a Bible college there near Evanston, Illinois, who was an expert swimmer. His name was Ed Spencer. And Spencer ran down to the shore when he heard what had happened. He got a big piece of rope and he tied it around his waist. He handed the end to somebody else on the shore. He said, when I tug on the rope, pull me back. He swam out swift and strong strokes and he found somebody struggling and he put his arms around him, tugged the rope. That way he'd only have to swim out. They pulled him back. He didn't wait for thanks. He didn't stay to be appreciated. He went back into the waters and he brought back another person and another and another. And pretty soon he brought back 9 or 10 people and he flopped exhausted on the beach and they began to gather around him and make sure he's all right and thank him for his effort. But Ed Spencer reached way down deep inside himself and found some more strength and he went back into those waters and he brought in an 11th and a 12th and a 13th and a 14th and a 15th and a 16th. And Ed Spencer rescued 17 people that night. He became feverish. They took him to a hospital. His brother Will sat in the room. After a while, his fever broke and his mind cleared. He looked over and saw Will sitting there. He said, Will? Will, did I do my best? Will said, Ed, you did a great job. You're a hero, Will. Ed, they want to talk to you. Then the fever rose and his mind clouded. And after a little bit, another couple hours, his fever dropped again, and he looked over and he saw Will, and he said, Will, did I do my best? Yes, Ed, you did a great job. The newspapers want to interview you. And again, the fever rose, and after a while, toward the beginning of the day, it dropped, and he looked over and he saw his brother, and he said, Will, did I do my best? And Will was frustrated. Tried to encourage his brother and it failed. And he said, yes, Ed, yes. He said, you saved 17 people. Nobody else rescued as many. Everybody wants to write your story. You're a hero. Yes, you did your best. And Ed Spencer said, oh, Will, if only I could have saved just one more. It won't matter one day how fancy our building was, how nice our car was, how well known our name was. But I promise you we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and our heart cry will be, oh Lord, if I could have just reached one more.